ודבר השם אל משה לאמור, פנחס בן אלעזר בן אהרון הכהן, השיב את חמתי מעל בני ישראל, בקנאו את קנאתי בתוכם, ולא קיליתי את בני ישראל בקנאתי. So this is a continuation of last week's parsha. And once again, that is indicated by the middle of the chapter. This is a continuation of the event which happened at the end, which itself was a continuation of the events of the first part of Parshat Balak. And over here we're told that Pinchas, who was identified last week by name, that Pinchas, he rose up, and it says, Heshivat Chamati, that he was the one who, when God was quite upset, he is the one who took down the anger, as it were, because he himself was jealous or vengeful, and God v'lo kiliti et bnei Israel, and he said, I did not wipe out the Jewish people, b'kinati, in my own vengeance, act of vengeance. So therefore we have this act of Pinchas, which is an act of vengeance, which itself saved the Jewish people from God's vengeance. That's what that said. L'chein amor hinin yotein lo et briti shalom, and therefore I'm going to give to him a covenant of peace. The question is, why does he get the covenant of peace? Is it because what he actually did was in order to achieve peace, and therefore it's quite appropriate, right? Sometimes you need to fight to achieve peace. Or is it because this is sort of like an antidote, that because he's somebody who's rambunctious, somebody who's involved in fighting, and therefore the counter is one of peace. He and his descendants afterwards will have a covenant of being Kohanim forever, which is quite strange, being that his father was a Kohen and his grandfather was a Kohen. So what exactly is being added over here that he's receiving? So there is a lot of intrigue on this, and we've discussed that before, that maybe there was a special, what you can call a, sometimes you have a grandfather clause, somebody's grandfathered in, he may have been grandfathered out in a certain sense, that when the kahuna was given to Aaron and sons and subsequent children. The problem is he was born already, so he wasn't a subsequent child, so maybe he was excluded, even though that's quite strange to say that. But on the other hand, he's killed someone, and normally a Kohen who kills would therefore not be able to be a Kohen. So therefore one can say, and I believe the Zohar takes this approach, that he wasn't a Kohen because God knows that he's going to kill, and because he kills, if had he been a Kohen at that point, he would have been disqualified, so therefore God waited till after he killed, then made him a Kohen, and therefore he's not disqualified. V'haysa lo l'zaro acharav brit kuhunat olam tachar asher kinei le'elokav v'chaper al bnei Yisrael. Now the second part of that pasuk is that part of the reason he will become a Kohen forever is because he performed an act of kapara, he performed an act of atonement. So sometimes killing people brings about atonement. And by the way, if you think about it, where was it exactly that Aharon and children become Kohanim after the Chet HaEgel, when Moshe says, Mila Shem Elai, and then Shevet Levi comes, and they wipe out all of the sinners, and now they become Kohanim after having, at least they become Levium after. But I'm saying that there's an interesting dynamic over here, is that that brought about Kapara, so therefore they're the ones who are going to work inside the temple. And over here as well, that he brings about kapara. So of course he becomes a Kohen. And then it adds in more information that we were not aware of beforehand. Because at the end of last week's parsha, there were these nameless people involved in this. There was a man, there was a woman. V'shem ish Yisrael hamukeh asher huka et hamidyanit Zimri ben Salu nasi beit av l'shemoni. So the name of the man who was killed, his name was Zimri, and Zimri is a leader, called a Nasi, within the family of the tribe of Shimon. V'shem ha'isha ha'mukah ha'midyanit, and the name of the woman was a woman from Midian, Kozbi Batsur Rosh Umot Beit Av Midyanhu. So she is somebody who is considered to be, first of all, the fact that she's a Midyanit is interesting because the whole section over there were the daughters of Moab had come in. A couple of psukim later, it gives us a little bit more information about her. And here it says, and let's look now in the Targum Yonatan. Now, what we're going to do today is we're going to spend all of our time looking at all of these events through the prism of the Targum Yonatan. Those of you who are not familiar with the Targum Yonatan, it doesn't really exist. So that's part of the challenge. I have a book over here which is called the Keter Yonatan, which is the Targum Yonatan ben Uziel. And you have to realize why this is an amusing book, because the Targum Yonatan is a targum, which means it's a translation of the Torah into Aramaic. So this particular edition has over here, as any Chumash should have, it has the Targum Onkelos, it has Rashi on the bottom, and here it has Targum Yonatan ben Uziel, and then what's called the Keter Yonatan. The Keter Yonatan is a translation of the Targum Yonatan back into Hebrew. Now you would say, well, that should not be all that difficult because you had the Chumash on top. So again, a couple of things. There was someone named Yonatan ben Uziel. Yonatan ben Uziel, as far as we know, did write a Targum on Navi. And we have it. We have it printed in our Mekor Kedolah. It is the Targum Yonatan. This Targum Yonatan was only called the Targum Yonatan by the printers, which means somebody made a mistake. And, it's a funny thing that, sometimes you have a mistake. I don't know how many of you have written documents, right? Sometimes you make one mistake, and that's it. Try to get rid of that mistake afterwards. It takes on a life. made Aliyah when you get to Ellis Island. Right. Sometimes a mistake can just have a life of its own. So the Targum Yonatan is not the Targum Yonatan. Prior to the mistake, it was called the Targum Yerushalmi, which apparently it's a Targum from Eretz Yisrael. Yonatan ben Uziel lived a long time ago. He lived in the time of the Tanaim. This is not the work from the time of the Tanaim. At least as a whole, it's not. As the final product, it's not. It's not quoted by people like Rashi. It's only quoted afterwards. It seems to have some information about Islam, which sort of makes you believe that at least the form that we have it now came into being post 8th century. But again, it may be post-Crusades, post-Rashi, and so on. By the way, that doesn't mean that it's not based upon old ideas. It is based upon old ideas. It's based upon ideas found in Midrash Rabbah, and it's based upon ideas found within the Gemara. But what the Targum Yonatan does, unlike Onkelos is pretty much word for word. If you look in the edition which was put out by Korin of the Chumash and Rashi and Onkelos, the Onkelos is excellent. But what it does there is any word which is a translation word for word, it has in the regular font, or the regular, not just font, it's bolded. Any word which is not a literal translation, it has in a lighter, the ink, it's a little bit lighter. So when you see it, you realize, oh, that's not an exact translation. So 90-something percent of Onkelos is a word-for-word translation. The exception by Onkelos is when he gets into... something which is more poetic, then he will translate things with poetic license, and that's where it's more difficult. On the other hand, the Targum Yonatan is very, very different. The Targum Yonatan, it starts by translating things into Aramaic, but then it tells you a story. Now, sometimes it's more and sometimes less, and sometimes it's a little midrashic twist on things, and sometimes it's much more of a midrashic twist on things. So what we're going to do today is we're going to read the story, but through the prism of the Targum Yonatan, or what's called, if you want to be an academic, you will call this the pseudo-Yonatan, Hamiyuchas. And by the way, that's in the newer edition of the Proyekt Hashut of Bar Ilan. In the old ones, they wrote Targum Yonatan, and at somebody, I mean, this is a university, they're supposed to be academics, so at some point somebody says, but it's not Targum Yonatan. Everybody knows it's not Targum Yonatan, so the proper thing to say is either to call it by its right name, which, by the way, it was Taf Yud, so somebody said, oh, Targum Yonatan. No, Targum Yerushalmi. That's really what it is. But over here, with all that introduction, let's see what the Targum does to this pasuk, or these psukim. Source number two. So this is the Keter Yonatan, what I have over here in this book. As I said, this is available in the Bar Ilan disc. Vayidaber Hashem Moshe Lemor, Pinchas HaKanai. So right away it tells us something about Pinchas. Pinchas HaKanai, Ben Elazar, Ben Aaron HaKohen, Hishivet Chamati, Zami, Me'al B'nei Yisrael, Bizman Shekine Et HaKina, V'harag Chotim Shebineim, which, by the way, you realize now is pretty close to what the Pesukim said. It made the one value judgment there, Pinchas HaKanai, right? It made it a little bit stronger. Pasuk Yud Bet. Bishvua Amar Lo. So over here you have an oath. Did you have the oath? L'chein Emor. So when God says something, it's a vow. Bishvua amar lo min shmi, right? So God swear by my name. L'chein emor, right? So over here, it's by my name. You have a vow taking place. Gozer lo et briti shalom va'aseihu malach. And I will turn him into a malach. Chai v'yichye la'olam, and he will live forever. L'vasera ge'ula b'sof hayamim, and he's the one who will inform about the redemption at the end of ages. Now, what over here in the pasuk led him to say that? Well, the answer is because it said, "Vaytal lo l'zaro charav brit kuhunat olam." He will be my servant, my kohen, forever. So you would have thought that that kuhunat olam was on l'zaro, was on his descendants. But it says, "Vaytal lo ulzaro charav brit kuhunat olam." So therefore, you again, the way that we would have read the pshat, he and his descendants will have a covenant, will be the Kohanim forever. But the way that it's reading it over here is that he and his descendants will be the Kohanim forever. So the forever is on him as well, and therefore it says, and he will now become a malach. Now, if any of you know what this is referring to, it's interesting, he doesn't say it. He just sort of hints at it, and what is that he doesn't say? What we all know, that Pinchas is Eliyahu. But it's interesting he didn't say it, but don't worry. He certainly is implying it and wants you to understand that. V'tachad shebizu lemor, halo ben puti, hamidyanitu. Now, some of you may be familiar with this from Rashi, is that people attacked him and they made fun of him and said, what kind of behavior is this to go and kill people? This must be from his mother's side that he picked up this type of behavior. No, I, God, am going to say that, no, his behavior really comes from his father's side. And I'm not going to go into the full description over here. If you get it, good. If not, then not. V'kalamit lebeit boshet kivtav v'hitpalel b'fiv im al im beit Yisrael yiskua kahonim l'shalosh matanot zroa l'chaim v'keva v'tehelo levanav achariv brit mishichat olam tachat shekineh lokav v'chiper al b'nei Yisrael. Again, he will be a Kohen forever because he acted like a Kohen and brought about atonement, and therefore he's going to receive certain gifts of the Kuna as well. Pasuk Yudalit v'shema ish ben Yisrael Harug shenerag im hamidyanit Zimri ben Salu nasi beit av l'shevet Shimon v'shema isha harug hamidyanit Kozbi bat Zur shenekret shil unai. I have no idea where that name comes from. Bat Balak rosh uma shel Moav b'midyan beit moshavohu. So it gave us her other name and it tells us directly who she is. She's not just from some family. She is the daughter of Balak. Now, so far, what we've just now seen is that Targum Yonatan is, again, working with one of our favorite principles, and that's going to be our theory of conservation of characters. So over here, that it's not just going to be the daughter of anyone. It's going to be the daughter of Balak. It's not just going to be that, well, he's going to come a Malach. We don't yet know who the Malach is, and That is enough for right now. Now, on the other hand, if we go back, this is not the first time in the Torah that Pinchas was introduced. So let's take a look when he was introduced. And by the way, it's not going to help us, but we should look there anyway. Back in Shmot, source 3, Perek Vav, Pasuk Kaf Hei. Uvnei kahat Amram v'yitzar v'chevron v'ziel l'shnei chaye kahat shalosh That's where this whole attack comes in, that Pituel may actually be Misha Pitet Le'avodah Zarah, saying that he may have married a daughter of Yitro as well, and therefore they're assuming that his children are acting like their other grandfather, who was a Kohen, but not for us. Lo Le'isha V'teled Lo Et Pinchas. So that's where Pinchas came from. So now this is where Pinchas is introduced. But back on Pasuk Yudchet, which I read first, Kahat Amram V'Ditzar, take a look at the Targum. We'll read it first in the Aramaic. Uvanui de Kahat Amram V'Ditzar V'Chervam V'Ziel Shnechev de Kahat Chasida. So it's calling him a Chasid. It tells us how long he lived. Ma'atulim T'lat Shanin. Right? Chamat Yat Pinchas. And he lived long enough to see Pinchas. Now, who was Pinchas to him? Who was Pinchas to Kahat?
Grandson.
No. His grandson of Aaron, great-grandson. This is. He lived long enough to see his great-grandson. Kahat saw his great-grandson, Pinchas. Hu Eliyahu Kahana Rabba datid l'mishtalcha l'galuta d'Yisrael b'sof yomaya. And if you want, we can read the Hebrew in 5. Ad shira et Pinchas hu Eliyahu Kohen Gadol shatid l'shaleach l'galut shel Yisrael b'sof hayamim. So over here, actually, that's why I said, it's not when Pinchas is introduced. Pinchas is introduced a couple verses later. Pinchas is introduced in Pasuk Kafhei, in Pasuk Yudchet, before we even got up to him, when it was talking about his family, his lineage. So it says that Kahat got to see his great-grandson, who in turn was Eliyahu. Now what's interesting is here, he says that Pinchas is Eliyahu. By our Pasuk, he says that Pinchas becomes a Malach. Now, by the way, this is not a very difficult thing to reconcile. So the malach that he becomes, obviously, is Eliyahu. And we call Eliyahu a Navi. We call him eventually, he becomes a malach. But that is, as I said, the background information. Now, this idea that Pinchas is Eliyahu, maybe. This idea that Pinchas is Eliyahu is, as far as I know, and despite what we're about to read, not mentioned in the Gemara. I don't believe it's mentioned in the Midrash either. At least when I say the Midrash, I want to be more careful about that. It's not mentioned in any early Midrashim. As I've already indicated, there are late Midrashim as well. For example, Yalkut Shimoni is also never quoted by Rashi because Shimon, who made the Yalkut, who collected it, lived after Rashi. Now again, when people, it's not like they made up later Midrashim, but sometimes they put them together later. And sometimes, you know what, maybe I'll take that back. Maybe sometimes people did make up some Midrashim later on. I'm sorry for saying that. But there are Midrashim, or they had other sources. Let me just put it that way. The idea that Eliyahu is Pinchas is not found in any early material. We'll see where it is found, and we'll see how clearly it's found there. In one place, it's called in the Pirkei de Belezer. Pirkei de Belezer also is, may well be, post-Islam. It mentions the wife of Muhammad. It, of course, says that that was the wife of Yishmael, which then, again, is again working with the thematic understanding, but we're getting ahead of ourselves. There's a commentary on the Chumash who, to a great, great extent, is a super commentary, meaning that he's really a commentary on the Ramban. The Ramban, more than any other early classic commentary, was wont to bring Kabbalistic material. I mean, that was one of the things that the Ramban was attacked for, is that while others, let me put it this way, Rashi almost totally avoids any Kabbalistic material. To what extent Rashi had such traditions, we don't know. At least, we don't know. Maybe you know. But the Ramban had a Kabbalistic tradition, and he shares it. And he was attacked for this. The Ramban has sections where he gets very, very obscure. And then there are a number of commentaries that come to explain those Kabbalistic parts of it. And he had a student, Rav Yitzchak from Akko, who published a book explaining the more Kabbalistic parts. The Rekanati did the same. The Rekanati, by the way, is the first source that we have published that quotes a book which became very, very famous, and which book called the Zohar. Nobody before the Rekanati ever quoted the Zohar in writing. So let's take a look at what the Rekanati does with this, because it's not going to be necessarily what you think. V'amar shivat chamati, milashon b'shuva v'nachati v'sheyun, which can be translated, you shall triumph by stillness and quiet. Oya kipshuto mamash, you can say this in the simplest sense, v'chasu lo yitalei kamur chamati, k'mimeni nikatam v'chilatam, v'yadata mamar rabbeinu zal, and you should know what our sages have taught, and now he's referring to the Gemara. Well, you know what? I should be careful. Could be he's not referring to it, because it says in the book. Look at Baba Batra Kuf Chaf Aleph. Maybe somebody just put that note in and was wrong. That's interesting. Okay, I'm sorry for talking to myself, but because it says that Rabbeinu Zal said Pinchas Hu Eliyahu, and whoever did the annotations over here, I just wonder right now. What I'm saying to myself is, I wonder if he actually put it in that citation, because that citation, Gemara Baba Batra, just doesn't say it. the Gemara in Baba Batra, if you want to look at it very quickly, it's in source number 8, Tana Rabbanan, Shiva Kiplu et Kol Olam Kulo. There were seven, you can go through all the span of history with only seven people. Metushelach Rat Adam. Metushelach lived long enough that he saw Adam. Shem Ra'a Metushelach. Yaakov Ra'at Shem. Amram Ra'at Yaakov. Achia Shiloni Ra'at Amram. Eliyahu Ra'at Achia Shiloni Vadayin Kayam. I don't see Pinchas. So, meaning, if somebody's going to say, oh, that means Pinchas is Eliyahu, I just don't see it. Maybe I'm not reading it right. I just don't see where this says that Pinchas is Eliyahu. So, as I said, I sorry for doing all this, but I just suspect that perhaps the Rikanathi did not actually refer to this Gemara, but he did say something else. Pinchas hu Eliyahu. So we're 13th century, late 13th century. Pinchas hu Eliyahu. Gam timtza mirabotenu zal. Now we're going to find, and this is what where you asked, Esther, you asked before, so was Eliyahu a Kohen? So he says, you're going to, if you look in the Medrash Rabbah, you're going to find this following. You're going to find an opinion that says, Yesh timtza mirabotenu zal. Omrim ki ha mishevet Gad. There is an opinion. Why would somebody say he's from God? Eliyahu ha Navi, Eliyahu ha Giladi Eliyahu Tishbi. So the Midrash there is going to say, hold it, maybe one of these things is talking about where he comes from. So there is an opinion that he is from Shevet Gad. V'yesh mehem Omrim, and there are some who say, Mizera Rachel. Some say that he is a descendant from Rachel. We find Eliyahu himself in the Midrash, sometimes identifying as one another. By the way, this is not a contradiction, even though it may sound difficult, because some of us can come from multiple lines, right? Yes? Because you have a mother's side, you have a father's side, you have a grandmother's side, right? So, people can say, so where's your family from? So how do you answer that question? Where's your family from? Or automatically, right? Whenever people ask, we say from Liverpool, right? Yes, we're from Liverpool. No, because for years I was looking by the Ellis Island sign. I could not find where my grandfather came from. So then I finally found that he never came to Ellis Island. He came to Boston. But he came to Boston from a boat from Liverpool. So I don't know if he spent more than half an hour in Liverpool, but we're from... We're from what? Your father came from Liverpool. You didn't know that he came from Liverpool, did you? There you go. Can he sing? You know what? I spoke once in the shul. I spoke in Liverpool in the shul where the Beatles manager didn't daven, and somebody said he would come for and Yom Kippur or whatever, and I didn't know at the time. I didn't know that all these people were landsmen. Or for my mother's side, my grandfather came from Cuba, right? He came from Cuba. He went here, right? He came to America from Cuba, where he was for a couple of years, right? So we're actually Latinos, our family. So, no one ever thought about it back in the day. I don't know why. Anyway. So when you say where you're from, the fact that Eliyahu may be from Rachel and may be from God and may be from Pinchas, all of this is not contradictory necessarily. But listen, the Rikanati is a Kabbalist. When you're dealing with Kabbalists, you need to be more careful. So he says, V'yeshmem omim mizera Rachel, gam tinsuk Eliyahu, hu miyaches latzmo pam lizeh pam lizeh, uvisod ha'ibur yityashev hakol. So those of you who don't know what the Sod HaIbur is, Sod HaIbur can either be translated, depending on what it means, by the way, either be translated as reincarnations, or it can be actually transmigration. If you really need to know the difference between reincarnation and transmigration of souls, essentially what it's saying is we're not talking it's the same person, we're talking about it's the same soul. May have had various episodes. V'zeo ma'amram b'midrash rut. And that is what it means in the Midrash Rut. Now, Midrash Rut is not Midrash Rut. I know because I searched through every single Midrash root and it's not there, but I will show you where it's from. So instead of let's reading any further, let's go to Midrash root, which is actually the Zohar Chadash on Megillat root, which is source number 7. Rabbi Natan Sha'al, excuse me? I'm a professional. That's where I find these things. Exactly. That's really what it is. That's why they pay me the big bucks, if you want. No, I actually asked Rabbi Berman how much they would pay me if they paid me, because I want to know how much I can like say this is a donation. I said, what does the top person get paid over here? Anyway, I want to know what I'm not getting paid. So, Rabbi Natan Sha'al li Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Chanina Yom Achad. Once upon a time, Rabbi Natan asked Rabbi Yosi Bar Chanina, he said, V'amar le, Eliyahu havale bra? Did Eliyahu have any kids? That's a fair question, right? Did Eliyahu have any kids? Oh, love, or not? Amar le milta achra havabe, he said he had something else. Uktiv, and it says, and he quotes from Divrei Yamim, al tig'u b'mishichai u'nevai al tareyu, which means, don't be so familiar, the way it's being used over here, with my anointed ones, my prophets. Don't think that you can be chummy with my prophets, that you can ask such personal questions about them. And God chose them. And God separated them to serve him. And brought them into God's palace, as it were. All the more so regarding somebody who's an angel in heaven. I just want to ask one question to you all. We know that, according to our tradition, Eliyahu ends up becoming a malach. Is it possible that he started as a malach? I'll say this again. He ends up a malach. So is he a human being who gets an upgrade? Right? Or I'm going to say this again. I know as easy as this may have been to you, I just want you to rethink everything that you've ever thought. It's a simple thing to do. Just go through all of Sefer Melachim, or if you've ever learned it, so this will be much easier. Is Eliyahu a human being with parents, with kids, regular person, regular family guy, who one day becomes a malach? Or was he a malach sent down to do whatever it is he needed to do, and then he returns back as a malach? Now, I'm not entertaining any answers on this question because I just want to read. I'm just thinking out loud for a second, and let's continue in reading. It says, "Who are you to ask?" That's what's really just now happened in the Zohar. Who are you to ask about Eliyahu? Did he have a kid? What? Why are you asking such questions about somebody who's a Navi you shouldn't be asking such questions of, but all the more so somebody who, Misha, who malach b'shamayim, somebody who is an angel in heaven. Ariel, what did you want to say? Did he have parents, right? That's the question. They're never mentioned. Just got more intriguing, right? His parents are never mentioned. Unlike other people, like, you know, who Shmuel's, right? His parents are never mentioned, which is why I can even say this as a... Atasho Elalav, Rabbi Yochanan, and there is a tradition, the Parish HaSulam suggests that this should really be Rabbi Elazar. Omer, Misheva Gadhaya. So we had seen that suggested before. Rabbi Noharai Amar, Eliyahu, Mila Achrahavabe. There was something else that he had. Dichtiv, Mila Shemaim V'yarad. Who goes up to heaven and comes down? By the way, so I could understand who goes up to heaven and come down. That's going to be about Eliyahu. So that means that he was a person, goes up to heaven, becomes an angel, and then subsequently, every now and then, he comes to the Bris, he comes to Pesach, right? Wait, we always wonder why in the world, you know, he's supposed to come and tell us Mashiach is here. Why not? Because we got the guy drunk. Everybody's giving him a kos of Eliyahu, which is even more than a Shir Chazonish, and then we're wondering why in the world Eliyahu hasn't come back yet. Before you say anything else, Al tegu b'mishichai. Okay, continue. Mi ala b'shamayim, Amar Rabbi Elazar mishmei d'Rabbi Shimon. By the way, Rabbi Elazar mishmei d'Rabbi Shimon sounds very much like Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai's son, right? Elazar, the son of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, which for the Zohar would make a lot of sense. Amar Rabbi Elazar, Mishmei Shimon, Da Eliyahu, that's Eliyahu, the one who went up and comes down. Ve'yerad mikodem lachein, he had come down before then. So by saying that he had come down before then, so before I read the Parash HaSulam, what he says with this, he had come down before then, this can actually lend support to this suggestion that he had actually had always been a malach, had always been an angel. He had come down before him to do what he didn't need to do. The Parash HaSulam, which is again is a commentary on the Zohar, says, Dahainu nishmato yarda v'nit labsha beguf acher. That it means he had come before him. That means his soul had been here before him. V'kasha de Rebbe Elazar ad Rebbe Elazar. De Amar Rebbe Elazar Eliyahu da Pinchas. It's a contradiction because Elazar said that it's Pinchas. By the way, if you're saying that he'd come beforehand, then it's not a contradiction. That's why I'm saying I'm not so sure how the Parash HaSulam works here, because then it's not a contradiction. So over here we find Elazar said that he was Pinchas, but we also saw that he had come down before, and I'm going to leave you with those thoughts. Now it's telling you why you would say that Eliyahu and Pinchas were the same person, because both of them had this jealousy or vengeance for God. The Amar Rabbi Eliezer, sorry, the Amar Rabbi Eliezer, k'tiv, kano kanoti, kano bishitim, v'kineti hacha. Amalei Kadosh Baruch Hu, ad matay atam akaneh l'shmi, Amar Rabbi Yehuda bar Shalom, mi ala shamayim d'aliyahu, d'chtiv ayaliyahu b'sara hashamayimah. Who's the one who goes out up into heaven is Eliyahu. So correct. So it seems to be that in the Zohar there were two approaches, which it's saying is maybe contradictory. One is that Eliyahu had come down, which seems to be pointing in the direction that he himself had always been an angel. The other one is saying, no, he'd been here before. Again, maybe different way of reading it. He's been here before, and that is Pinchas. And that could be on the soul level. I do want to point out that if you go back to the Rekanati, who is quoting the Zohar, his solution was Uvasoda Ibur. His solution, by the way, is not that Eliyahu and Pinchas are the same person. His solution is that Eliyahu and Pinchas had the same soul. It's not the same person, it's the same soul in the two of them, and that's the way that he's reconciling these two positions. This whole teaching, let's read a little bit more. This whole thing actually is also developed in the Pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer, which is source number 9. I don't know how much of this you want to read, but this is the most developed midrash that talks about this entire episode. So maybe we'll read it. The Hebrew is fairly straightforward. Source number 9. Rabbi Omer, Kol yeshiva yashvu Yisroel b'midbar asulam avodah zarah. Anytime the Jews went to yeshiva, no, it doesn't mean that. Anytime the Jews, we have the word yeshiva or vayeshev, idolatry follows. Shenema v'yeshev am lechol v'shatuv v'kamul tzachek, which is a reference to the Cheta Egel. Maktiv acharav asulam Egel. V'katuv echad omer v'yeshev Yisrael b'shitim. They settled in Shitim, and what happened then? That's when they sinned with the daughters of Moab. Maktiv sham v'yichel am leznot et benot Moab. Zu avodah zarah, and that also led them into the idolatry of Peor. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Atzat Rashi Imur Chakameni, Batzat Shabilam Shayatz Lemidyan. Where did this whole plan come from? Well, that was ultimately the plan of Bilam, which this is the evil flip side of the Matovu Olecha Yisrael, that he says, oh, look how beautiful the family life is. That's the weak point. Let's take away the family. Let's go and get them to sin, and that's how we're going to get them. Naflum Yisrael Asim Ve'erba Elef. Because of Bilam's idea, is where 24,000 died. Amr lahem einatem yochlim lefnei amazeh ela imken chatu lefnei baram. The only way you can defeat them is if you have them sin. Miyad asu chaniyot chutz l'machane Yisrael. They set up stalls outside of the Israel camp. For you were im levnot midyan mikachalot einayim kizonot. That they put on eye makeup as prostitutes do. I'm not making a direct correlation here, but that's what it says. V'tau acharehim, and the Jews sinned after them. Shenem av yachal am liznot et b'no ba'av. Shimon v'Levi kin'u al zima, going back to Bereshit, Shimon and Levi, they were quite upset when they heard about an individual act. Shenem merachuzo, na ya'aset achotenu, v'nasi shel shevet Shimon, lo zachar masha says zikno. And the descendant of Shimon, Zimri, forgot how his grandfather had responded to one individualized act of impropriety. V'logo ar b'vachurei Yisrael, elohu batzmo b'frahesya ba biznut al hamidyanit. He himself was involved in znut. Shenemar v'shem ish Yisrael muka asher huka et hamidyanit v'chol nisim Moshe v'lazar ben chas ra'u l'malach hamavet. And when he started to sin, what did all the Jews see? Sorry, what did Moshe and all the leaders see? They saw the Malach HaMavet in the camp. They saw the angel of death now spreading through the camp. They didn't know how to, they started to cry. They didn't know how to stop the Malach HaMavet, which is spreading through the camp. Pinchas the Zimri, Shabab Farhesi al Midyanit, and Pinchas saw Zimri, who publicly had relations with the Midyanit, Vikinikin Agdola, and he had this great sense of jealousy or vengeance. V'chataf miyadosha Moshe et haramach, and he grabs the sword from Moshe. V'ratz acharav udakrome acharei brito, and you will now realize that everything that we read before in the Targum Yonatan is actually coming from here, but he translated it into Aramaic. But I will read it quickly here. V'yatzar ramach bekavash el ish. Sorry, v'ratz acharav udakrome acharei brito. V'yatzar ramach bekavash el isha. So he stabs the two of them while they're together. That's what it means. The fichach natan lo kadosh baruch hu ma'achel keva. And that's why the Kohen gets certain types of, or the family of Pinchas gets certain types of matnot kuhuna. V'meitz et zarota, v'midet haromach ba'aret, v'nimtzu tuliyim b'rosh haromach, zeh lemala mizeh, ha'ish lemala min isha, v'nit perdua lechayim ha'lechi shel ha'ish milacheh shel ha'isha, l'fichach tana kadosh baruch hu ma'achel lechayim, another gift, matnot kuhuna, shenema v'natana kohen azor v'lechayim v'akeva. Come Kidayan gadol shofet liYisrael shenema va yamod Pinchas va yifalel. That means he created judgment. Kishem shata omer v'natan b'flilim vaya b'makeh b'vachorei Yisrael u'mashchu otam v'choz v'yat machaneh Yisrael kadei shiru ha'am v'yirau v'ra kadosh baruch hu ma'asha asa Pinchas, and God sees what Pinchas did, v'atzar ta magefa me'al Yisrael, and he stops the angel of death from going on. Shenema v'atzar ha'magefa. Rabbi Lezer omer, by the way, notice that's the Rabbi Lezer that we saw, that the Perish HaSulam said that was the opinion back in the Zohar Chadash of Rut. Chashev o heisev HaKadosh Baruch Hu shmo shel Pinchas kishmo shel Eliyahu. That's just an interesting thing. He made the name of Pinchas like the name of Eliyahu, zachur latov mitoshvei Gilad. Shasai Yisrael tshuva be'eretz Gilad. Shenemar briti, now it's quoting from Malachi, briti, Perek Bet, which we'll see soon, briti haita ito hachayim v'ashalon, v'natan lo chayei ha'olam, hazeh v'chayei lo maba. And he then gave Pinchas the ability of living forever. V'natan lo levanav schar tov ben tzadikim ben rishaim, leman kuhunat olam shenemar, v'ita lo lezorachav brit kuhunat olam. Which means this whole approach that then Pinchas is going to live forever, becoming Eliyahu, we already find this in the Pirkei de Belezer, as we found in the Zohar, as we found it in the Targum Pseudo-Yonatan. The first connection that was made between Pinchas and Eliyahu is source number 10, Vayomer kano ki nati l'Hashem Elokei Tzavot ki azvu britecha. So over here in Malachim, you have kane, you have this idea of this vengeance, ki azvu britecha, because they've left the covenant. And what's the what does Pinchas get? He gets a covenant because he was mikane. Okay. All of that led us to one of the protagonists, namely Pinchas, as identified by the Targum Yonatan, or Pseudo Yonatan, and we understand where it came from. But there was another protagonist who we've all but avoided or ignored so far, and that is somebody we mentioned only once along the way over here, and he's the evil mastermind who's been sitting in the background, and that, of course, is Bilam. So source number 11 writes, V'yishlach malachim el Bilam ben Ba'or Pitora, asher al hanahar, eretz b'nei amo, l'krolo, So the plan that Balak comes up with, you know, Midian and Moab join together, and they're going to go and approach Bilam. So let's look how our Targum identifies him. Source number 12, Vashadar Izgadin. Izgadin are messengers. Livat, Lavan Arami hu Bilam. They send it to Lavan, who is Bilam. So let's just turn to the next source, 13, you'll have the Hebrew of this. Vayishlach shlichim el lavan ha'arami, hu bilam, shebikesh levloa et bnei Yisrael, et beit Yisrael, ben ba'or, shenitpas mirov chokhmato, v'lo chasa Yisrael zeresh al bnei benotav. So he's saying, Bilam is Lavan. So it's just one second. It's interesting that Pinchas gets connected with somebody who's going to be in the future, while Bilam is being connected with somebody who's in the past. Once again, this will be our theory of conservation of characters. But what I do want to do in the next couple of minutes, before we actually have our final confrontation between the two, is to understand what exactly is being said over here. What does it mean that Lavan is Bilam? And by the way, notice that over here he's saying that he, v'lo chasa Yisrael zerah shel b'nei b'notav, and he had no compassion for his descendants. He was willing to kill his descendants. Bilam is not just somebody who's willing to kill someone else. Bilam, Bilam, Bala'am, swallow people, swallow nation, commit genocide, not just any people, your own people he's willing to kill. So that's what's surprising. Ubeit mashavo bipadan, and he lives in Padan. So now, by the way, if you actually go back to the Pasuk again, where he lived, it was a little bit sparse, the exact description of the place. Hupator al shmo p'tor chalamot, which we'll come back to in terms of the dreams. V'hu nivnata ba'aram sha'al prat, because it says he comes from near the Nahar, which is the Nahar. The Nahar is the Prat. Eretz shovdim mishtachavim lo b'nei ha'am, l'kor lo le'mor, hinei am yetzah mitzrayim v'nei kiseh, and so on and so forth. Just to see where Bil'am comes from, look at source 34. In Dvarim, we saw this last week, you already forgot it. Al dvar shem lo kidmu etchem, b'lechem uv'mayim b'derech etzchem Mitzrayim, asher sechar lach et Bilam ben Ba'or miftor Aram Naharayim. Who else came from Aram Naharayim? Avram, Lavan. I mean, this is where the Avram, this is where Lavan, this is where the Lavan family is from, which means the first thing that we have that can connect Bilam and Lavan is that they came from the same place. Okay, that's the first part. But there's a number of more elements that we still need to get to you. Maybe. But before you go any further, we'll see exactly why they want to say it's the same person. But let's take a look. Rabbeinu Bechaye, in source number 14. Rabbeinu Bechaye, I'm going back for a moment before we finish up with Lavan. We're going to go back for a second to Pinchas. So he wants to just make this a little bit tighter. And he says, "V'yesh l'daktek v'ein lacha heishivet chamati me'al b'nei Yisrael, v'lo kaliti b'nei Yisrael b'kinati, v'lo kaliti b'Yisrael, v'nimtzeit l'mad sheishav t'chima gorma kiyuma shel Yisrael, shel mole kein hayu kalin, v'im kein pinchas garam l'Yisrael orech yamim v'shanot chayim." He saved the Jews from being destroyed, and he gave them continuity ad sofa olam. He saved them forever, so therefore, midah k'neged midah, Pinchas receives the same thing. But then he continues and says, "Ki Pinchas Eliyahu, ki nishenemar, briti ayta iti achayim v'shalom v'ner makan et briti shalom." So therefore, some of the connections I said before with the Brit and with the Heshev are there as well. Look at source 15, at the end of Malachi, where Eliyahu or Eliyah is mentioned. Here his vav is missing, which is a whole nother story. Zichru terat Moshe avdi, asher tziviti oto bechorev, al kol Yisrael chukim u'mishpatim, hinei anochi shaleach lachem et Eliyahu nevi lavo b'yom ha'gadol v'hanora, v'hishiv levavot al banim. So that's the same word that was used referring to Pinchas, shehishiv et chamati. But it was source 16 that was quoted in passing before, and I want you to pay attention to this. V'atem alechem ha'mitzvah zot ha'kohanim. This talks about kohanim generally. We'll skip that. Pasuk Dalid. V'yadatim ki shalachti lechem et ha-mitzvah hazot liotim briti et levi amar Hashem tzavachod. Briti hayta ito achayim v'hashalom v'nim lo morav yir'enu m'nei shemi nachatu torat emet hayta b'fiu v'avla lo nimtza b'sfatav b'shalom v'mishor lachiti v'rabim heshiv me'avon. He brought many back from sin. Again, the word heshiv is used here. Ki siftei kohen yishmudat v'tor yivakshu mipihu. Because he is a kohen, ki malach Hashem tzavakotu. Because he is an angel of God. So this whole combination, and he's an angel, v'heshiv, and so on, is part of what some of these sources saw in terms of connecting Pinchas with Eliyahu. And now let's return to Lavan to try to understand the Lavan-Bilam connection. Source 17. Vayomer elav Lavan im namatzati chen b'necha nichashti. Now what does the word nichashti mean? So nichashti can mean guess, but if you look at Source 18, using the Targum Yonatan, Vayomer lelavan im namatzati ahava b'necha hinei nichashti b'ksamim. I used my kesem, I used my magic in order to be able to understand this. We'll skip 19 and 20 and 21. But here's where it gets a little stronger. In Source 22, and we're back by Bilam, Vayomer leim linu po halayla. Bilam says, wait for the night. V'heshivoti etchem devar kasher yidaber Hashem elai. And God will speak to me, and then I'll know what to do. I'm skipping a little bit in the same source in 22. Later on in Pasuk Kaftet, he says, Vayomer Bilam le'eton ki yitalalta bi, lu yesh cherev biyadi ki ata rakti. If I had a sword in my hand, I would have killed you. Yet later on in Source 23, Vayomer Bilam el balak, halo gamet malachecha, asher shalachte elai dibarti limor. But I told you from the very beginning, this is towards the end, I can't do tova or ra'ah. So there are various elements over here in terms of Bilam. There was, God speaks to him at night. If I had a sword, I would have done this. I could have done this. I almost did this. And it's only within God came to me in the dream and stopped me from doing tova. Now, the reason why these things are interesting is because all of these elements are back in the Lavan narrative, which means the main reason to connect them, and right now I don't really care on this point, is it a grand descendant, not a descendant? That's not the issue. It's not whether biologically there's a connection between Lavan and Bilam. When Chazal are saying that it's this, not Chazal, when we see a tradition over here from the Targum that Bilam is Lavan, it's not important, the descendant. That's actually less of the issue. The issue is the same character. That's what it's saying. But just take a look at the various elements. Source number 24. Vayavo Elokim Elavan Arami B'chalom Halayla. Right? The Torah says that God comes to him at night, the same way that God speaks to Bilam at night. Vayomer lo Hishamer Lacha Pen Zeber Yaakov Mitov Imra. And be careful not to speak to him from good to bad. That's the same words which were used, almost the same words that were used in Perek Kaf Dalet by Bilam. It's the language which is the same. And now take a look at the way the Targum Yonatan reads it. Look at the way that the Targum Yonatan reads it. V'yavo malach b'mamar milufnei Hashem, because doesn't even want to say that God spoke to him. God sent an angel. V'yishlof charbo, and he pulls out his sword. Alav namri b'chalom. He pulls a sword at it in his dream. What's the dream that he has? That he's got a sword at his neck, and God says to him, "Hishamer lecha tedaber miYakov mitov l'ra." So it's interesting because the same way that Bilam said, "If I had a sword, I would do this." To the donkey, over here he has the same scene taking place, but it's the malach which pulls out the sword. And by the way, in that scene as well, why does he pull out the sword on the donkey? Because a malach had a sword standing in front of you, which means that the Targum over here is working very hard to point out the same literary aspects between these stories, because it wants to try to show you that they are the same story. As far as the kesem goes, later on in Source 26, sorry, we'll skip 27. He then accuses them, "Lama ganafte et Elohai? Why did you steal my gods, as it were?" Which the Targum tells us, of course, is the Trafim, ganafte et Trafai. When they go to see Bilam, it says, "Uksamim biyadam." They carry the ksamim. When he speaks, Bilam says, "Ki lo nachesh b'Yaakov lo kesem b'Yisrael." The nichush and the kesem were connected both to Bilam. And finally, when it says that Bilam was killed in Source 31 in Yeshua, "Ve'et Bilam ben Mo'or ha'kosem hargu b'nei Yisrael," which means the connection with the trafim, the connection with ksamim, the connection with nichush, or all of these things which link these two characters together. At the end of the episode with Bilam, it says in Source 32, V'yakam Bil'am v'yelech v'yashav limkomo. In 33, at the end of the episode of Yaakov and Lavan, it says, V'yishkem Lavan b'bok, v'yineshek levonotav levonotav v'yavreichot etem. By the way, he gives them a bracha. He wanted to kill them, and he ends up giving them a bracha. So I just want to point out that is the same episode as the Bil'am episode. V'yelech v'yashav Lavan limkomo. And he goes back to himself, which again, the words are not exact, but it says the same thing by both of them. And that is what the Targum is doing. It's not talking. So Charlotte, I want to go back to what you read. To say that this is descendant, therefore he learned how to do the magic, is missing most of the point over here. What the Targum is saying is that this is the same character. Now, why is it the same character? Is it literally that Lavan lives that long? That's a little hard to say. Is it saying, but it's what it is saying is that these are the same stories again, that the content over here is the same. Now, if you want to say the same solution, that it's transmigration of souls or so on, again, I'm going to say it again. Pinchas is Eliyahu and Lavan is Bil'am. So one more thing, and that is the solution at... One more thing, and that is the solution of the whole thing at the very end, and that is source 35. Before you read the Targum, this is in next week's Parsha. It's Perek Lamed Aleph Pasuk Chet. Let me read to you what it says. Ve'et malchei Midyan hergu al chalaleihem, et evi ve'et rekem, ve'et sur, ve'et chur, ve'et rev, ve'chamesh malchei Midyan, ve'et Bil'am ben Ba'or hergu b'charev. So all these people were killed. Finally, Bil'am was killed as well. So let's look what the Targum does to this pasuk. And as you see, the pasuk itself was around 2 lines, and over here we have around 10 lines. Ve'et malchei Midyan hergu et harugei mechonoteihem et evi ve'et rekem ve'et sur hu balak ve'et chur ve'et reva chamesh malchei Midyan ve'et Bil'am ben Ba'or hergu b'charev. That was the pasuk. V'yakeven shara Bil'am hachote et Pinchas hakohen rodeif min acharav. When Bil'am sees Pinchas chasing him, and by the way, Rashi has a little bit of this, and we spoke about it once a number of years ago. Asar devar shel kosmim uparach barvir hashamayim. Bil'am does his kesem, and he goes flying up into the air. Miyad hiskir Pinchas Hashem hagadol vakadosh. Pinchas then also says the name of God. Uparach acharav, and he goes flying afterwards. V'chazob rosho v'ridu. Shalaf cherev ubikshu lahergo, and he pulls out his sword again, the cherev, and he wants to kill him. Patach piv bedivrei tachnunim, and he starts to beg for his life. Omar lePinchas im tekayem et nafshi, if you let me live, ishbalach, I swear to you, shekol yamim shenekayam ein ani mekalel et amcha, I swear I'll never curse the Jews again. Anav amar lo halo atahu Lavan harami, he goes, but you're Lavan. By the way, can you trust Lavan? Would you buy a used car from Lavan? Would you marry one of his daughters? Would you marry two of his daughters? Okay. Sheratzita lahachrit et Yaakov avinu. You wanted to kill Yaakov. V'yaradata l'mitzrayim bavur l'avid zero. U'min achareshi yatsumi mitzrayim. Garita behem amalek. You're the one who sent Amalek down. Which is just an interesting comment here. When in the world was Amalek doing when the Jews left Egypt? Who got them all worked up? Lavan got them all worked up. Amalek Rashava, Tagarait Garait Lakalelotam, and you're the one who got worked up to curse them. The cave and treat to Shalon Enu, and when you saw that Ma'asach, you saw you weren't able to succeed. Veloki Bel Mamroshala Shemimcha, Ya'atzta Eit Sara'ah, Ed Balak Lamida Benotav Beparshat Drachim La Tototam. And therefore, when you saw you couldn't succeed in cursing them, you were the one who had the idea to send the girls down. V'naflum b'vorkach, mehem esrim v'arba alafim, and 24,000 were killed b'vorkain. Ki ein efshar shuv l'kayem et nafshecha. And he goes, no, I cannot let you live any longer. U'miyad shalaf charbo min nartika v'hargo. And he pulls his sword out, and he kills him, and that's the end. Of course, if Pinchas is Eliyahu, his flying in the air is much easier than you ever... No, I think that's important over here. Because this whole theme of being able to fly and so on, so Pinchas Eliyahu, so of course he can fly, he's got his chariot, he's got whatever, and that becomes less of an issue. But what did we do today? Those of you who are very troubled by this, so I apologize. I really don't, but I really don't, but I do. But... What did we read today? What we read today is really a midrashic reading, but it's a midrashic reading of the way that the Targum Yonatan looks at things. What is it doing? It's looking at characters thematically. It's looking at characters in terms of behaviors. What it's pointing out is that certain things repeat itself. Now, I don't know why this is such a difficult thing. I mean, in terms of anti-Semites, we don't have the same kinds of... Yes, they wear different uniforms. Okay? What's changed over the last 3,000 years? Right. Right, I'm saying, what's changed? It's the only thing which has changed is the uniforms changed. That in one place they dressed as they dress in Spain in the 14th century, and one way they dress as the Cossacks did in the 16th century, and one way they dress up as the Gestapo, and so on. Which means the fact that we have thematic issues repeating themselves, I don't see why this is so troubling. What I worked hard on today, I don't know if you appreciate anything that I do, but a little bit, is to show you that it's all based in text. That's what I was trying to show you, that it's based in text. The Pinchas Eliyahu connection is a thematic connection because the same words come up again and again in both of those episodes. The Lavan Bilam connection is, it's because the same words and the same themes come up. So therefore, when looking through the eyes of the so-called Targum Yonatan, when he sees Bilam, he says, we've seen this guy before. We've seen somebody like this before. And therefore, understanding the Bilam character helps you understand the Lavan character, and understanding the Lavan character helps you understand the Bilam character. Which means they, both of them have, and by the way, there's more connections that I didn't go into. I mean, it's worthwhile thinking. But what it's also saying is that this Pinchas character is somebody who's going to come back again. We're going to need someone like this again, and he's going to be back. And he comes back again, we find him in Sefer Malachim. And what else? And the other point that it says is that we're going to need a guy like this again, and it's not enough that he was there once, and he's going to come back again because we need somebody like this. So as I said, that's really what the Targum... That's really what the Targum Yonatan did, is it says that in terms of the two protagonists, they're both topologies. They're both people who repeat themselves. One of them to understand and look in the past. Unfortunately, it's not only in the past. The other one, if you want to see him again, look in the future, because he's going to come back again. And as I said, this is an interesting way of looking at the Chumash, but that really gives you a very good flavor of the way the Targum Yonatan always seems to look at the Chumash.